What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
Sexy football with Matt Bowen.
I was listening to you guys on the radio one afternoon.
You should be. Everybody should.
The Bears.
Kayla Williams let his guard down a little bit on the St. Brown Brothers podcast, Equanimeous and Amon Ra.
Is there anything they can't do?
Well, Equanimeous can't catch.
Yeah, he still secured the bag.
Hey, he could block, man, okay?
He could block. I don't know how much of a bag he got, and I don't know what Osiris is doing, but yeah, Amon Ra.
No, those guys are killing the game, man. The gene pool is strong and successful.
Well, the dad still looks great. The weightlifting champ, John.
Yeah. What an awesome family.
Yeah. And,
that's know. All. Just shout out to the St. Brown family.
Good for them. Well done. The podcast covered a lot of things, and obviously there was plenty of fun football stuff in there, but they also asked Caleb about his spending habits.
What do you spend your money on? You know, that first pick money.
What do you like to spend your money on? Like you just said, be honest. Don't try to be like.
I spend my money on a house.
Okay.
I spend my money on.
Aren't you into fashion?
Yeah, that's a year round thing though.
That's right. I want to hear all it though. Fashion.
So fashion,
shoes, jewelry, watches.
I got a couple watches.
Okay.
But I've been collecting watches from since college.
I forget you got paid.
Yeah,
in college,
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
It's one of my. I enjoy watches. So a house, watches. Fashion. I bought two cars.
What cars?
A double R and a G-Wag.
I don't know what a double R is. I gotta look that up.
Yeah, explain. He doesn't know what that
Rolls
is.
Royce. Rolls Royce. Yeah, but what kind? Just what kind?
The Spectre.
But I bought both the cars. One because it snows, and then the other one was for taxes. Because they're both over 6,000. So
you said Spectre? You said Spectre?
No, I didn't buy the Spectre. I bought the Cullinan. So I bought those, and then that's it. Which is, it was a lot, but that's it, really.
So, what would you say is like your guilty pleasure? Like
watches,
spending money on
watches.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't matter like the price. It doesn't have to be high or like steep or anything like that. It's just like if it's a nice watch, if it's a good watch, like I like watches.
How many watches are in your watch collection right now?
Probably double digits, like 10.
There you go.
Yeah.
I might need to get me, I like watches too. I might need to get me one. I haven't gotten one in a minute.
Yeah. But. If you need guys, let me know. If you need guys for a type of watch, Rolex or AP or whatever.
He knows the guy that knows the guy. So.
Yeah. For sure.
From USC, right?
Actually.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't make that connection at Notre Dame.
Yeah, you wouldn't have made that connection at Notre Dame.
My favorite part is, you made money in college.
Yeah, no, the way they reacted to that, they're like, wait, what?
What?
Oh, that's right. Y'all make money now.
Do you understand the tax comment about the Rolls Royces?
6,000 pounds. I think it's 6,000. It's the weight of the car.
Oh, it's so to drive.
I don't know.
It costs more to drive because it's heavy?
That was the only thing I could come up with off the top of my head.
I'm not sure.
As I do not have an automobile.
But I know what an RR is.
Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce, man.
And you know what the AP is? Audemars. Piaget. The watch.
Oh, yes. But I...
What, AP?
Yeah. Audemars Piaget.
Only one type of watch.
Audemars Piaget.
You know, in the words of Jay-Z, Audemars is losing time.
Yeah. I only wear Apple Watches, though, because... They save my life and stuff.
So. I mean,
you can't find like a Patek Philippe that could measure your atrial heart rate.
My atrial fibrillation. I haven't looked into it.
I'm sure they have it. I'm sure the Swiss can come up with something. You could retrofit a Rolly.
For those who want to wear the high end accessories, like I'm happy for you. Do that. I just am not into people judging people for wearing something they think is like out of style. That's what I'm bothered. That's what I've always
What do you
said.
Mean, out of style?
Like, you know, people who judge stuff like that. I'm like, if you have a problem with what somebody else is wearing, that's your problem, not theirs.
Well, there's some people who are fashion critics.
Yeah. And that's
it's their job.
Right. But like the casual judgment of like somebody saying a watch is out of style or something, I'm like, ugh.
Great watches do not go out of style.
Or just wear what you want to wear.
Classic watches are
your assless pants
forever.
That you refuse to give up.
And I don't wear them out of the house. And my assless pants eventually will be in style, and everybody will be wearing assless pants.
That'll be the day you're so happy. Mm-hmm. You're like, I can wear these at the house?
Because we're Americans, and Americans are just so fat and lazy and stupid.
Wow. That
eventually, everybody's going to say, you know what? He's right. My pants don't need an ass on them.
I don't know that that's how that's going to go.
Yeah, it is. Everybody's going to come around.
Some women
are
6,000
pounds.
Pants.
Thank you.
Is that what it is? So a car over a certain weight is an extra tax.
Yeah, that's
burden.
What I thought it had to have been. Because I was like, the only thing that could be 6,000 between those two cars is the pound.
It ain't the dollars.
No.
I'll tell you that. Maybe the one tire.
G-Wagon is very Southern California, in my opinion.
Is it?
Yeah, dude. I feel like I see one G-Wagon for every like seven vehicles.
My accountant's texting me. Call me if you want the answer to this tax question. No, I can't afford you.
Text us, Bob.
That's fair.
Just text us the answer. We can't
Why
call
don't you
right
just
now.
Tell me the answer.
We're on the phone.
we're kind of in the middle of something here.
That's the whole point of you is to actually just give the answer. That's why you're on retainer.
Yeah, charge her by the hour too while you're at it.
Wait a minute. I want to make sure we get through this stuff because I have questions about the stuff just from the sheet. There's things I want.
And all right.
So, go ahead.
All right. Well, I thought let's do the catfishing stuff here. If you saw it, Caleb Williams was victimized by some scamp on social media who convinced him that he was or she was Ben Johnson and FaceTimed him to say that he was taking the Bears job. And this is let's just play the clip first.
Hey, Caleb, it's me, Ben Johnson.
Come to the Dolphins, bro.
No, shut up. Hey, you're a great QB, but I'm so glad that you're going to get a new head coach. I don't know if it's Ben Johnson, but I'm sorry about this.
Oh, yeah. Peace out.
Hey, the sorry nails are that. Tough.
You're a goat, bro. You're a goat.
No way.
Yeah.
Woo. You're great. I don't know.
So that's a couple of guys who pranked him into believing that he was Ben. Actually, I think his name was Ben Johnson. And
Caleb responded and FaceTimed him as if, so he believed that Ben Johnson was actually texting him.
Don't you text Ryan Poles at that point and be like, hey, is this
real?
This is legit? But apparently he texted Amon-Ra St. Brown to ask if this is actually Ben Johnson's number.
So here's the side of the story that he shared with the St. Brown brothers.
The whole catfish situation.
Oh, before my you, God. Before the,
if you went to Notre Dame, that would have never happened.
Bro, no, hold on, man.
Before we get into this, I just want to say I'm sorry. Like, I feel like...
Before, I'm going to explain the situation. I reached out to Amon-Ra, and I was not asking... I asked Amon-Ra for Ben's number, I wasn't going to save his number because he's not our coach,
right.
And I wasn't going to do all of that. I was asking for or text him or anything. I was asking because I wanted to make sure it wasn't, because obviously so many fake numbers nowadays. I was asking him so I could see if it matches his number. Amara does Amara things and doesn't text back.
No, damn. That's not what happened, bro.
That's crazy.
He goes, yo. I said, yo.
EQ, No.
He goes, what's Ben's number?
He'll just disappear.
That's not true. I'm literally in dinner, bro. Listen. He texted me, yo. I said, yo. He said, what's Ben's number? I got these random dudes trying to hit me up saying they're Ben and whatever. I go, Ben ain't coming to Chicago. And then he goes, nah.
He thinks I'm trying to play a joke. I'm being dead ass.
Then he goes, nah. These guys are hitting me up saying they're Ben. But at this time, I was eating dinner, so I didn't see my phone. 20 minutes later, I see the text, but it's too late. And he goes, it's all good. I called and it wasn't him. And I didn't put anything together. I said, oh, okay, bet. An hour later, it's on Twitter. I texted
everywhere.
I said, hell no, bro. Hell no.
Everywhere. Like, yes. But the text was so official. I've gotten that text from college coaches and other coaches before you know getting drafted and all of that in different ways. So it looked mad professional. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna reach out and then
they didn't train you at USC for that.
Yo,
I'm just wondering. Wait, Caleb, you actually thought Ben though in the middle of the season was gonna?
Well, was gonna my text thing, you? My reason was
because he went to USC, bro.
My reason was because they're doing the interview thing. And I was on the game, so I wasn't focused. Yeah. And they were doing the interview the next day, and so I thought he already had the interview.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah. And then it was a class. I ain't gonna lie, it was a classic prank. It was a grade A, S tier prank.
S tier.
I gotta give him props. I wasn't locked in the moment.
And then you answered the call.
Yeah. How did you get your number?
I don't know. I've had the number for probably 15 years. I don't have it no more. New number, but I've had it for 15 years, and so I don't know. Somebody must have gave it to him. Somebody must have said something, or he got lucky and just dialed the number.
Okay,
that's not how that works. You don't get lucky and dial the number.
No, somebody gave him the number.
Amon Ra's defiant protection of Ben Johnson is absolutely hilarious.
Okay, now we have.
I'm not letting you talk to him.
We have to get to this. This was Caleb talked food, and starting with an important question about a specific entree.
But how do you eat your steak? Back to the food.
Medium.
How do you get it cooked?
Medium.
Okay.
Real well.
You eat sushi?
Yeah, absolutely. I had some last night.
Okay.
Medium. It's not bad. Medium rare.
I do medium rare too.
You're getting there. You're just, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're rookie. You're
prep. You're probably in prep right now. Prepping you to get to medium rare. You're going down every time.
I've done that my whole life.
I changed, got that first round money. So
I'm a change.
He's probably at medium well before I see.
I'm a change man.
He's probably well done.
No, never well done.
Medium well. Now he's medium.
I don't want the steak. You know, extra dead. You know, it's already dead. Like, what are you doing?
Extra cooked.
What am I chewing? Charcoal? What are we doing?
Right.
No shot.
I'm glad you didn't say well done or anything.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Didn't somebody say well done?
Yes.
On here?
A lot of people do.
Yeah, weird.
You'd be surprised.
You gotta grow up at some point. At some point, you can't be a kid. You gotta grow up.
I don't want to see the blood coming out. Come on,
it's
bro.
It's not blood.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, it's not blood though. It's
exactly.
So, but it's, you know, it's all right.
Teach his own.
Yeah, teach his own. Yeah. At some point, they'll grow up, become a man, become a woman.
Right.
Be a man.
Yeah, you're on your way.
Hey, what do they say? What do they say? Be a man. Yeah, I mean, just. What are you doing?
I'm happy to hear that.
I mean, as long as he's not like, oh, I don't eat steak, I eat chicken tenders only. Because I know adults who do that.
Who?
You know the person I'm
I not. Knew you. I knew Wait, I must know the
An adult
the
that
person.
Only eats chicken tenders?
Like, we go to restaurants and he complained because, and then going to an Italian restaurant one, he's like, I only eat my mom's spaghetti. I was like, what are we doing?
Are you sure this wasn't a toddler?
Okay, Eminem.
Hey, you guys can say Chris Ranji's name. It's okay.
Is Chris Ranji have, is that his thing?
I don't know.
Oh, no, that's one of
do
my
Do I know
buddies.
This person?
Wait, what is this okay. shade Layla about? What I like my steak medium.
Medium rare.
Because 90 times out of 100, it comes out medium rare anyway.
I think medium rare is the definitively correct way order a steak, unless it's like one of these $200 pieces of Wagyu or something where I would order it rare.
Hmm. Okay.
Nah, medium for me is fine. I'm a basic chick.
Clearly.
Well, Go, Caleb Williams. Get yourself a G-Wagon and a medium.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Mistake.
Bernstein and Harris.
Really excited for you and Marshall together.
Middays 10 till 2.
Love Marshall, love his work, man, so I'm excited for that pairing.
Mango.
Tell me what these names have in common. Ben Johnson, Aaron
Sports.
Glenn, Anthony Weaver, Drew Petzing, Vance Joseph, Thomas Brown, Mike Kafka, Mike McCarthy, Todd Monken, Brian Flores, Arthur Smith, David Shaw, Joe Brady, Pete Carroll, Matt Campbell, Cliff Kingsbury, Ron Rivera, Marcus Freeman, Adam Stenovich. What do those people have in common?
They're still alive in the search, the pursuit of the Chicago Bears head coaching vacancy.
Indeed. We learned on this show, during this show, we learned that Mike McCarthy is actually going to be at Halas Hall in person. I don't know how they're going to get him here. Are they going to fly him privately? Is he going to be out at Waukegan Airport or Palwaukee or DuPage? Are we going to stake that out for his private jet to land? Or will George meet him in baggage claim?
Guys, I know some of you have a lot of free time because I see your internet habits. So one of you's needs to stake out.
One of yous?
Yep. One of you needs to be at the baggage claim at O'Hare. Yeah. One of them.
Okay, Layla.
And another one of yous needs to be at Midway.
Okay, Layla. I guess I'll take a break from asking you for your old workout socks. And instead, I'll go do this for you.
Hey, it's productive.
But if I do this, can I have a pair of one of your old workout socks?
You cannot, but it would be helpful to the show.
Yes, we'd appreciate it.
But take pictures, because otherwise it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you my socks. How about that? There you go.
When you burn them, ghosts will fly out.
I think the people want your old assless pants.
Nobody
Dan.
Gets the assless pants. Mine. All mine, damn it.
I expanded from 3 to 5, just for the record.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now it is.
Well, you got a list of five
hold on,
people
hold on.
You want as Bears head
Can we
ghost?
Get some music no, real quick? I want to do an intro.
Bah, 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 bah.
Okay,
mouth
so
trumpet is no.
I need more guidance. What kind
any
of
any kind
intro?
Of music. Metal.
Mastodon.
Yes.
Okay, so this is gonna get us some music going.
This is very important.
It's gotta be just right.
And now it is time for Marshall Harris's top five. It was three, but now it's five. Bears head coaching candidate.
So listening
what is
to
this,
that
an FS1 show all
yeah,
of a sudden?
I like it. Yeah.
Where's you your costume, Marshall?
I was gonna say, do I come out like dressed as Wizzo the Wizard now?
This is about
something?
Content.
We have 95
guys.
Blonde reporters.
Here's the bottom line. We're learning about these candidates. This List, by the way, subject to change. But as of today, in this moment, right now, and you're like, all right, who do you want to be Bears head coach? And if they're not available, who's next? 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 I've got five names in front of me, and this is the
order. Are they on this list?
They are on the list.
They're all on this list?
They're all on the list.
Okay.
All right. So, number one?
Let me guess.
Go.
You're number one.
No, that's not how this works.
Okay, no, no, no.
Okay, number one. I'll go in reverse order. I'll go number five. Number five.
Okay. Number five.
I'm gonna put number one right here.
All right, number five, Mike McCarthy. He's number five on my list.
You're right.
Yes, perfect.
Number four, Aaron Glenn. Number four is Aaron Glenn. Got that?
I got number one right here.
Number three.
What's the sound of? Yeah, okay, good.
Number three, just because I'm intrigued. Todd Monken, number three. Number two.
That's old Dan.
PC. Give me Pete Carroll. Ooh. Give me Pete Carroll. That was not my number one. That was number two. And number one is Ben Johnson, because just go get Ben Johnson. And if you don't get Ben Johnson, that means somebody else got Ben Johnson.
Marshall, that's the exact same list I sent to a buddy of mine this morning who asked me what I thought about the coaching candidates.
You're like,
literally top
really
to bottom.
Really hard
five
to argue against really? It. Yeah, really.
You had I'm shocked you have McCarthy on your list, knowing how you feel about McCarthy.
The fifth, yeah, as number five.
He's the fallback to the fallback to the fallback to the fallback.
You know what he is? He's in the mix.
He's in the mix.
He's in the mix.
And looking at the other names, I'm not saying I couldn't be convinced one of these other guys outside of maybe Drew Petzing and somebody. Like, I'm not even out on Joe Brady. Oh,
poor Drew Petzing.
But this is my top five.
He's going to get another shot at this.
If I had to go the reverse order, like top five guys I don't want to see as the Bears head coach.
Wait, hold on. Can we get some more music? for this, maybe more metal?
Yeah, it's time for the top five guys
that
Marshall
doesn't
want
to head coach. Now, this was
going to
be in no particular order.
Tornado.
Is that okay that this
one's that was a different open.
Is that okay that this is in no particular order, though?
Yeah.
Just guys you do not want to head
do not want.
Yeah, I don't.
They're on the DNW.
Are they also on the list?
They are also on the list. I'm going off the list to make the list.
Sure, because I can add a bunch of people I don't want to be Bears head coach who aren't even on this list.
I bet you can. I bet you can. Okay. On the list, Matt Campbell. Okay?
Yes.
You're shocked.
Agreed.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
On the list, Ron Rivera.
Yep.
Fair.
On the list, Mr. Petzing.
Oh.
You're right.
Poor mini.
On the list.
I just don't know if he's on my do not want list.
Adam Stinovich.
You don't know who he is.
I know he doesn't call plays. No.
Does he call plays?
If he walked in the room, would you recognize him?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to recognize him in that manner.
Okay. And I don't want to recognize him.
Remember, this is the bottom five from the list.
I know.
All right. And the last guy in my bottom five is Thomas Bryant. Although I wouldn't hate to see him back on the Bears staff.
Thomas Brown?
Thomas Bryant. Or Brown. I said Bryant.
It's
Bryant.
Okay.
Brown.
It's Thomas a long
show. You got basketball in the mind.
Thomas Brown.
You do have basketball
I do have
in
basketball
the mind.
NBA I've been watching a lot of League Pass lately.
NBA on the mind. So I
don't know. Brown. If I'm Thomas Brown, I kind of want to be like, yeah, I'm good.
I think the most fun and the most, if I hold myself to what I said about someone who upsets the order and makes everybody uncomfortable.
Wait, this is also a declarative statement?
If somebody who just...
Music!
Not necessarily.
Yep.
Whatever music. But...
Okay.
If you want to
give it to him, Layla.
Bears uncomfortable. Shock them out of their torpor. Make them act differently. Someone who scares them a little bit.
It's Todd Monken.
Hey, I got him in number three. Listen.
Would you call him Todd Metal Monken?
I just know he. Look, he's
Todd Mastodon Monken.
You can't do Hard Knocks with Todd Monken.
I think one of the things we know about number five on my list, Mike McCarthy, is he could probably get them headed in the right direction, but it's all relative, and the bar is in Hades right now, right? The bar is in Hades for what Bears fans have been watching of late, from this last era anyway. Todd Monken, depending on what happens in the next couple of weeks, he could have the Ravens offense in the Super Bowl finally doing it, but they have a running game, and they have Derrick Henry.
I just would like to see Virginia in her fainting couch. They would have to, like, every day she'd break her string of pearls clutching them because of his polysyllabic swearing. The guy's like a Kevin O'Neill Terry Bohr's level cursor.
I don't know that Mike Vrabel wasn't.
No, but not like, but Munkin's just famous for it. Munkin just scares people.
But and also Munkin like comes, he's football, and but you talk about a football guy, his whole family, generations of football on football on football.
Right. I think his mother is actually a football. I think he was conceived, if sort of magically.
Like her head's shaped like Stewie's head on Family Guy? Yes, football somehow. Shaped
he's,
head?
He's the footballiest football that ever footballed.
I mean, not that you guys asked, but you kind of know who my list is.
Oh, give me your list. I know who's on your bottom five.
No, he's not, actually.
Oh, McCarthy's not in your bottom five?
No.
Okay.
Because let's face it, life is pain. So
who's your top five?
So, like, Mike McCarthy's in the top five.
Oh, he's in your top five?
His life is pain.
All right, so who else is in your top five?
Crazed.
What?
Mike McCarthy.
No, I mean, it makes sense. Like, I like him.
Top five that you want or top five likelihood?
I like him, but I just think, you know, there's got to be a lot of help there. Number one, like, a real in-game coordinator to help with the decisions. But
okay.
No, it's Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn for sure.
They're in your top five. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Todd Monken, and then
this is awesome.
You can include Pete. You can include Pete. It's okay.
No, guys, I keep thinking it didn't go well in Atlanta at all.
Arthur?
Yeah.
Okay, Arthur Smith.
But I don't know why. I think it's more of a likelihood, and frankly, it might come down to some nepotism there.
Arthur might be number. He's either six or seven on my list.
Okay. His like family is not of the football. There. His family is of the logistics and such.
Robert in Naperville says Todd Munkin's mother is actually the football being identified in the Sid Luckman photo.
Of course, it is.
Sid Luckman photo identifies a football.
Wait, okay, I think 331's a little mistaken. He said, hi, guys, the show sounds, I'm curious why Thomas Brown would be on anybody's top five after how, he's not on anybody's top five.
No.
He was in my bottom five.
Also, yeah, no, he's not going to be. Rivera, high. Yeah, he was in my Super bottom Bowl five. Coach of the year twice.
Yeah.
I feel like for the same reasons Clarence Hill talked about Mike McCarthy needing to modernize, you would feel the same way to an extent about Ron Rivera. Absolutely.
And that's why he's in my bottom five.
And who's his offensive? He's going to bring Ron Turner in?
But guys, I still want his opinion.
Okay, you can be a special consultant.
Like, top five opinions I want, Ron Rivera might be in there. Pete Carroll's in there as a top five opinion.
The 217.
Marcus Freeman, frankly, just because I like talking to him.
The 217 was listening yesterday. So it sounds like Layla's about to ask for a moment of silence.
Oh, yeah, you guys were talking
did you hear
about
it?
That.
Did you hear
it? Exuberant moment of silence.
The tone-deaf request for a moment of silence. The people who have lost everything in the wildfires.
Ladies and gentlemen, the NFL family is heartbroken by the loss of life and devastation caused by the wildfires in Southern California. We salute the brave first responders and everyday heroes who continue to support their neighbors. At this time, please stand and join us in a moment of silent reflection for the victims and the entire Southern California community.
First of all, why can't it be silence? Secondly, why is it silent reflection? And third, why does he sound like a news anchor really excited to report a murder?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Who's ready for a moment of silence?
Now coming to the stage.
No stoic at all. I just wanted something a little more stoic.
Right. Just more dignified.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
the news anchor. The news anchor who's too excited about a murder.
Yes.
I'm like, somebody died. Random news anchor.
Yeah.
There's been 45 murders this weekend. Like, why are you saying it like that?
None as spectacular as this one. Who's ready for a moment of silence?
No, not even a moment of silence.
Wildfires.
Silent reflection.
Silent reflection.
Did that guy even believe the fires happened? Is that dude? Like, what's happening
just,
here?
I was listening. Like, is it just me, or is this oddly discordant with the proper tone of asking for a moment of
that
silence?
That was a very Duke word you used.
Who wants some silence?
I like to believe that guy has moved through many jobs with the tone problem happening, like working at a doctor's office as a nurse. Oh, bad tone, man. Bad tone.
What if his tone is really appropriate for one job?
We are gathered here today to mourn the death of your family.
Man. By the way, the polarization with Mike McCarthy is just unreal.
It is.
People are like
topic.
On board with it, and the other people are like, he was washed 5 years ago when he got hired, and yet he somehow won 12 games, 3 straight seasons. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He had excellent talent. He's still disappointed. The first year they made the playoffs, they lost at home, and they were the favorites to go to the Super Bowl that year in the NFC. I don't want to hear it.
But he's not a bad head coach.
He had good tools around him.
Okay. So Jerry's a great GM is what you're telling me?
They prioritize offensive line.
Okay.
That's number one.
Dan back off. You guys could see Dan right now backing away from his mic, scared to catch the shrapnel from the Layla bullets coming my way.
And another thing. Tony Romo turned the ball over a lot in the last 2 minutes of the game. I don't want to hear about the other minutes of the fourth quarter.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, The Bernstein and Harris Show. Middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I am told the team wants to interview Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman for the job. Freeman is in the midst of a magical run with the Fighting Irish to the national championship game. Obviously, unlikely that he would entertain NFL overtures prior to that game a week from tomorrow against Ohio State. But the Bears have done extensive research for months on Marcus Freeman. He's only 39 years old. Would not be a shock if at some point he at least considers going to the NFL.
At some point. Okay, fine. Marcus Freeman. I like him a lot. He seems upbeat and good-looking, charming, and he seems to have done a nice job.
What's he doing with Caleb Williams, though?
I don't know.
So every time you mention a new name, that's the first question I have.
Of course.
What's the path of development of Caleb Williams?
And I have no idea. I do know this. Adam Schefter just posted with Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy eligible to talk to other teams after midnight Tuesday. There still haven't been any negotiations on a new deal with Dallas, per sources. It is now looking like McCarthy will indeed become a coaching free agent, with Chicago and New Orleans both expected to be interested in speaking with him. Okay. That's a no for me.
It's an instant no. You don't want to have any further discussions.
That's a no. So top of my list, the only one right now where I would just say, hell yeah, they did it. And they backed up everything they said about this being the destination job and the most sought after job. Just hire Ben Johnson.
Okay. That's the simplest route.
Just hire Ben Johnson and let him have Caleb and say, go do your thing.
Okay.
Make this work. Go here. What do you need?
Offensive line.
Well, fine. What do you need? How can we make this work? You tell us. What do you need? You need us to hire Hank Fraley too?
So if he ends up, my question is this, if Ben Johnson ends up in Jacksonville, will this coaching search be a failure in your eyes?
I don't know. The answer is I can't. There have been coaches I've been excited that they got that didn't work out. There have been coaches where you think, like the Lovie Smith hire. I didn't know. Who knows?
But you weren't nearly as adamant as, say, a Mike McCarthy hire.
No, we know that. We know that, buddy. We know that he's
Do you know?
Impaired. We've seen him enough. Yes.
I mean, too
many struggles.
He wins a lot of games.
Too many struggles with the
clock. When was last time this team had a winning season?
Yeah, but again, we can't Bears this thing. You can't set the bar that low. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. For everything they say about what they want to do, none of these guys get me. Like Ben Johnson, I could say there's a ceiling there. And there's legit excitement that he is the next McVay level thinker, coach, tactician, difference maker.
Okay, I'm on board with that. I mentioned him. You said, who would I get excited about? Him, Pete Carroll. There's other guys, depending on how it goes, how the process turns out. The guys, whether that's Brady in Buffalo, whether that's Monken, like, there are other guys, right, where you feel like, okay, I like this because I think Caleb Williams will be in good hands as long as they refurbish or, I guess, replace that offensive line. That's the way I look at it. The Mike McCarthy thing is interesting to me because of two reasons. One, if Mike McCarthy goes on the open market, now Dallas is in the mix for a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to start asking, well, who would they target?
Yeah, there's
you've got more and different competition.
Well, Dallas, there's some downside there.
Well, it's Jerry.
And having Jerry loom over you, but Jerry just cut a check. You know, Jerry will just say whatever you need to get over.
If he feels like he got his guy.
Yeah.
If he what was the expression? When he hired McCarthy,
bells ring.
Bells were ringing, or oh,
yes. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that
would have bothered me. I should have thought of that.
1979.
Yep. Oh, I know.
So we're looking at the search now, and point one, Mike Vrabel gone, and it's not that it's shocking or anything that he's gone. I said that's remember when we first saw Gerard Mayo fired before the season really even ended. That thing was written up, typed up, ready to go, hit send. I was like, oh, Mike Vrabel. It's got to be Mike Vrabel.
We all thought that. We all said, oh, yeah, he's definitely going.
And
there.
Then when they brought in the two.
Byron Leftwich.
And who was it? Pep
Hamilton.
Yeah, Pep Hamilton. Yeah. When they brought those two guys in, you're like, oh, yeah, this is over. This is over before it even begins.
Two guys not in the league right now.
Right. It was like Token from South Park. And Token, you're going to play bass. I don't play bass. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. There's one in the basement. No, there isn't. Yeah, there is. Go check your basement.
So at that
damn
point.
Yep. Just starts laying it down.
While Vrabel was a lot of people's top candidate for the job, as a guy who could turn around, who was doing more with maybe less in Tennessee in that first run he had as a head coach, I didn't expect Mike Vrabel to be the next Bears head coach because of that reason. And because you knew he was definitely going to have his own personnel people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wanted to do. And so now you look at the Raiders who fired their GM. You look at Jacksonville, and we heard what...
Shanahan's like, oh, I'll totally fire this guy.
Yeah, like...
If you come in with a plan and a better guy than this, I don't even know if he would, this guy.
He would do like the NFL equivalent of kicking him upstairs, even though there's probably nowhere to go. He probably likes Trent Baalke. I'll keep him employed.
Special assistant, yeah.
Yeah, special assistant to the owner. However you want to say it. But for the Bears... It is about competition, and the thing that bothered me at the press conferences, as we've been over, is that they talked as if they were working in a vacuum, and they're not, in terms of who they want to hire. Like, they have this job, and there aren't other jobs available for top candidates. There are. Mike Vrabel just took one of them away.
Well, what happens is the process changes once the word gets out, especially among these candidates and agents. They're talking about the job openings, too. So again, I get back to why Dave said some of the stuff he said about the number of people involved. That means people are talking about it. That means some of these people who've interviewed with the Bears are like, yeah, I got a bunch of vice presidents in there for the business side of it. Like, clearly.
I hope they're not talking, though. There's nothing, unless you have a question for them, what?
I don't know. But the fact you look up on that Zoom call and see all those faces there. You see all those executives from the various... I don't know if Karen Murphy and the other... He gave us the whole list of people. Jeff King and Karen Murphy and Liz Geist. And the reason why it would get mentioned, the reason why Dave would say, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
It's because people are telling them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's hearing that. So it's getting around the league that the Bears have this sort of convoluted... multifaceted
process
and a large committee of people involved. And that I don't know that that's a good thing. I'm not sure. When I say talk to everybody, I mean football people talk to everybody. I want to know the football side.
You went the one way with the talk with it. Talk with everybody you're interested in, not everybody with the Bears talk to them.
Yeah, and find out stuff. Use it as a free shot at gaining the kind of intelligence the Bears never seem to have, the kind of institutional awareness and best football practices the Bears never seem to have. Make your games look like NFL games by asking some of these coaches what they do and how they do it. But it's clear it's Ben Johnson and everybody else, at least as far as I'm concerned. And that is not, and I'm not saying, I promise, that Ben Johnson is going to be good. He might suck. But just as far as your status as a team, your status as an opening, you want to come off still being that arrogant about our great history and a founding franchise and George Halas and all that. Prove it matters. Get the guy. Get the guy. Otherwise, you're settling.
I don't think that they know who the guy is as of yet. And I think one of the other things that's kind of come out of the specifics of the Tom Pelissero talking about Marcus Freeman. They said they've been looking at this for a while. Mm-hmm. So that makes me think they've been looking at all these guys for a while. So the vetting process did start when they got rid of their head coach. I just wonder why they're not further along on some of the things.
I don't know.
And look, you can go car shopping, right? And you can go to a bunch of different places looking for a car. But in your mind, you know what your dream car looks like. And my thing is the Bears should be dream carring it right now. And if it doesn't work out with your dream car, then you can...
They said it. They said this is going to set the direction of the franchise for the next 10 or 20 years, whatever Kevin Warren said. They said it. A question on the text line says, are any of the candidates represented by Trace Armstrong? Yes. Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady is represented by Trace Armstrong. And there are still some question marks here for some of these other guys as to their representation. I know that Mike McCarthy was represented by Trace Armstrong, but he switched it to Don Yee. So the only one that I know for sure at the moment is an Armstrong client is Joe Brady, Bills offensive coordinator. And boy, if the Josh Allen comes with him, that'd be pretty nice. Because, God, does he make some throws.
Josh Allen's decent.
My God.
I've enjoyed watching him play football for the Buffalo Bills.
The ball just explodes out of his hand.
That fourth and one touchdown was, I mean, it was a great catch, but I mean,
but ridiculous to see it and then just be a bang. I mean, he just twitches his wrist and that thing just shoots out of there. A lot of good quarterbacking. Not a lot of great football.
Man, you we're saving the great football for divisional play, aka Bills hosting Ravens. That's a game.
That's a game
you can get behind.
That's a game
For survivor event. You know,
let's talk about some of what we saw in this first round of games too, because sometimes you look at that and you go, "Ooh, this is what it looks like playoff football." You know, when I was watching the Texans and the Chargers, and you know, for all my love of Jim Harbaugh, that thing fizzled.
Put that thing on the quarterback though.
And you remember?
Put that thing on the quarterback though.
Is Bobby Slowick even a candidate anymore? Do you remember where his name was last year?
Everywhere.
He was like Ben Johnson last year.
Hot.
But what lesson should we learn? All of a sudden, C.J. Stroud's bad, and now Bobby Slowick is
well,
now he's bad?
It kind of related to that, 708 on the text line. What about this scenario? What if Ben Johnson pulls his name from all teams and decides to stay as Detroit's offensive coordinator for a third consecutive year? That's, to me, is a possibility that Ben Johnson doesn't. He's like, nah, these situations ain't what I'm looking for.
If he did it last year,
he could do it again.
He absolutely
could. So then now Vrabel and Johnson, the top two guys, are off the table.
And also something to keep in mind, there's a lot of leverage play going on here.
Oh, absolutely.
When you read that Deion Sanders is interested in the Raiders job, that is a plant so Deion can cadge a couple more bucks out of the university.
Are we sure he wouldn't be interested in the Cowboys job, though?
Who knows?
That's a real...
I know he'd be interested in saying he's interested. And that's fine. That's how this works. And that's how agents do some of this stuff, to drive up prices.
You have to.
Elsewhere. You have to.
That's what agents get paid to do.
Absolutely. So it's certainly not something about which I'm mad.
Dan Bernstein.
Eventually, they stop growing.
Marshall Harris.
I've stopped growing physically, but not mentally, I hope.
That's a lovely sentiment.
Yeah.
Of course, we're all trying.
I'm just here to grow with you guys. Grow.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
At our place, we're really trying to grow the man.
Middays 10 till 2.
Williamson play quickly to Zach LaVine. Accelerates out of the timeline. LaVine to the rim with a runner. No. Rebound Malik Monk. 6 seconds to go. Monk advances left forecourt, sideline right, dribbles it out, and this ball game is over as the Kings extend their win streak to 7 games with a hard-fought 124-119 victory over the Bulls.
That's how you do it, Bulls! That's how you keep your top 10 draft pick in a fabulous draft. That's how you do it. You lose games like that. The Bulls are 10th in the East. And the problem is, I keep expecting Philly to start winning.
They will.
Well, you keep saying that, and they're not.
But they will. Both teams are 5-5 in the last 10 games.
The Bulls' schedule is super easy from here on in. They are 18-21.
Okay.
Philly's 15-22. Brooklyn's 13-26. So if you're thinking about a tank, they're not going to catch Brooklyn. They're not going to catch Charlotte. Charlotte's 8-28. They're not going to catch Toronto at 8-31. They're certainly not going to catch the woebegone Wizards at 6-31. Bulls are, they got some problems here if they don't start moving people.
But see, you're wrong, because they may not have problems because they might start moving people, but they might start moving in the other direction.
Then everybody's fired.
Dan, I have a question.
Everybody's fired.
Dan, who leads the NBA in scoring since the calendar turned to 2025?
Probably Zach LaVine.
Yeah, 33 points per game.
So? Okay.
He's having the best year of his career.
Great.
That should make him
more valuable and tradable.
Zach LaVine's making $43 million this year. Is he earning every penny?
I don't know. It depends on...
Yeah, he is. He is relative to... Look around the league.
He's a one-dimensional. He's a scorer, is what he does.
I think he's been doing more than scoring.
That guy is a scorer.
But in 2025, he's got more 30-point games than... I'm just going to give you some names.
He's a scorer.
Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis.
Yes, trade him, Embiid.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
Well, that team doesn't
need Donovan Mitchell to score that many points.
Vooch is also having his best season as a Bull.
Yes. And he's, what, 34? Trade him.
Vooch is 34, yes.
Trade him right effing now.
Okay, well, the trade deadline is February 6th. That's around the corner.
It's racing up, yes.
What if I told you Arturis Karnišovas watched Lonzo Ball play the last week and realized Lonzo Ball can be Lonzo Ball?
Okay.
He was the linchpin of when they had the best record in the East halfway through a season.
Then trade him.
What?
You already started this. You started doing this with Caruso.
Listen.
You started this process already.
They have tradable assets.
Yes.
Besides the guys I just mentioned, that maybe they can go out and get a player who is being sold.
To do what?
To contend.
No,
to make
stop
a push.
It. Okay, that's
to make a push.
No, then they're fired. No, if they do that, they're fired. You're done.
You want to hit the reset button so bad.
No, I want the pick. Yeah, this isn't
going. That's what the reset button is.
Yeah, this isn't going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere right this second.
This build is over.
They can't get better?
This build is over.
Can they not get better?
This build is over.
Okay, we are diametrically opposed on this.
They said it. They said this build didn't work. That's why they moved Caruso.
That's one of the reasons why they moved
Caruso.
Yeah,
just get on with it already.
This group is really good.
But with DeMar DeRozan gone, they're playing the style of basketball that not only you want them to play, but also Billy Donovan wanted to play.
Great. And now they can play this style once they get better players.
But guess what? They might be able to get better players this year at the trade deadline.
Only if they're future assets.
Well, maybe that, but Coby White can be moved. How much of a value is Coby White at $12 million a year?
Okay, he's an NBA guy. He's not a star.
He could be a rotation player, though, on an actual playoff team.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you can't move Zach, my point is this. If you can't move Zach LaVine, because he also has more time left on his contract as well, why not move Kobe and maybe Patrick Williams or some of these other pieces to get better? You might not get picks back. You might get players that can play right now for your team.
I don't know. That's the wrong thing to do, because then you're just going to end up here. You got to get out of this. I don't know that
Arturis Karnišovas wants to get out of this. Okay, you want to get out of it.
Well, that's crazy. That's just crazy. Unless it's ownership dictating.
Are they filling the building up?
Well, of course, but that's what I'm saying. If you want to be Blue Man Group, just tell us. Tell us it's dinner theater.
But you just told us about all the easy competition. What if they make a run between now and the trade deadline
and they get above
500?
It doesn't get them closer to winning a championship. It does not change their proximity to winning a championship.
Who are you scared of in the East? The Cavs and the Celtics? Is that it? Or are there other teams you're scared of in the
East? Mostly the Cavs. I don't think the Bulls will win a playoff series over the Knicks, and then it depends how healthy Orlando is.
Okay. But we know health is a thing. So...
But come on. What are we doing? They're not winning a title this year.
I think they're going to play basketball, and Billy Donovan's going to coach them.
Oh, I know that.
And until they prove that they are definitely going to finish in that bottom five that you so badly want them to finish in,
they have to.
They don't have to. You just told me about the teams behind them losing.
But they've got to keep
Even when they lose, the teams behind them lose. There's no guarantee anyone is going to climb over them, or that one of the teams that's barely over them right now isn't going to fall behind them.
You told me Philly was going to climb over.
Philly should. But even in front of them, there are teams that you're like, I don't know.
They just got to stay out of the damn play-in.
If they want to do that, they'd have to trade Zach LaVine now.
Go ahead. Yes.
But then there's no indication that they will.
Well,
the Lakers asked about Zach LaVine, and the conversation didn't get very far.
Well, at some point, they got to lower their asking price. That's it. Just move the asset, get picks. They have no assets. They have no draft capital. They need these picks. They need better players. This build is over. If they just want to stick in the middle here, I don't know what does anybody get out of it. You fill the building, you go, you have fun. It's a great product. But then tell me. Tell me your medieval times. And that's what it is.
Here's what I'm saying. I think Zach LaVine is playing the best basketball of his career.
Perfect timing.
And listen, and there's a possibility that he plays even better with better teammates in this new system.
But he's never been associated with winning.
Oh,
hey. He's never won.
He's 29 years old. It's not over for him.
I think he's older than that, isn't he?
No, he's 29.
Okay.
It's not over for him. Lonzo Ball, playing the way he's playing right now, if he can play upwards of 25 minutes a game.
They're not near a title.
They're not near a title, but they're near being a playoff team, a top six team in the East.
But it doesn't do anything other than get a couple more dates to pad their pockets. It doesn't accomplish anything.
Is that not a goal in and of itself, to win a playoff series?
But if that's their goal, if they're not in the championship business anymore, we've got to know that. They talk about championships.
Yes. I think there's a chance they can do both things, is all I'm saying. You need to just take a step back.
They tried that. This is over. They tried this. They tried this whole thing. It didn't work. And now you're just sort of watching it, and all these other teams are outstripping them when there are franchise-changing players in this draft. They need better players.
You act like they're going to get more than one of them, and you act like that pick is going to be so high.
I'm acting like this draft is deep. It's a deep draft filled with players. And if it's like, well, the guy might not be good, then what's the point of any of it?
I'm not saying that part. I'm just saying I can't wait till February 6th comes when we revisit this discussion in full.
Well, if you're talking about they're going to add players to compete this year, then we're going to have a major, major problem with credibility and the business that they're in and what they like to say about their trophies.
I'm not opposed to conflict.
Well, I don't think it's justifiable. I don't think the idea of, well, you know, they won this game, they beat the Atlanta Hawks, they go to the play-in. Like, what fan wants that?
We'll have a larger sample size when we get closer to the deadline.
Well, tell me what business we're in. Tell me what we're rooting for.
Bernstein and Harris.
You are disassociated with the common man.
Middays Tindall 2.
Who is more likely to be buying expiring meat and day-old baked goods?
That's you, because you play bingo with your health.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I can't help it that I don't play bingo with my health.
Bingo.
This unbelievable win for Atlanta, Bill. I mean, you beat Phoenix, you get in at 2 in the morning here, and the Atlanta Hawks come into Chicago and win by 16 with G League players and veteran NBA players, yep, to say the least, but reserve players stepping up at the right time.
That's one way to put it.
Worst loss of the season, that's how I put it.
Yeah, the Wizards' loss is bad.
No, this is worse.
No, but it's great. It's great because finally, we're laying bare the truth of this team. This segment's brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Cody Westerlund, the Score's web editor and content producer and Bulls reporter. You have so many titles.
Feels like Bulls observer. Sad Bulls observer. Last 2 nights at the United Center.
You know what time it is.
He's like the watcher in Marvel. He can't interfere. He just has to watch it all play out.
What time is that, Dan? So, time to tank?
Is this it? Like, I hope that when Arturas and Eversley and they're sitting in their box, they're like, all right, okay, let's pick up the phone and dismantle this.
You always say, is it it? It's not it yet. Right, it's not it until they decide to trade people. And I still don't think they were there last night before that game. Anything after that game here in the last, 12, 18 hours is still going to be a guess. But all the latest things we hear, all the latest reporting across the NBA is that other teams are still irritated, frustrated, just in conversations of the Bulls not being willing to part with guys or certainly not engaging in the price points.
Wait a minute. When you say not willing to part with guys, That means
with the offers that have been presented.
Yeah, overvaluing their own guys currently.
That's the better way to say it, certainly. But that's one of the biggest questions in the NBA is what are the Bulls going to do, because they have so many trade chips and they have been in the middle for so long. And now at 18-23, a 36-win pace, this is not even a team heading for 500 whatsoever at all, as they go to the West Coast for, what, three games, a couple of them figured to be pretty darn tough out there against the LA Clippers, Golden State Warriors. So this is a team trending in the wrong direction. You go back 1 or 2 weeks and we look at this window on the schedule. Oh, you know, the Bulls can have some success. This is the easier portion of the schedule. At that point, they had one of the easier schedules left in the NBA. Well, all of a sudden, you lose a couple to poor teams and the Pelicans, the Hawks without Trae Young, the Hawks without Jalen Johnson.
Not everybody.
And all of a sudden, it does feel different for the Bulls. I think they'll get there to the point of trading some people. The question will be who. The biggest question is, will it be Zach LaVine?
I think my biggest issue right now is that understanding how Arturs Karnišovas has looked at things in the past, and now they have Lonzo back, and he's like, well, mm-hmm. I kind of got the gang back together, and now without DeMar, we can actually run like we wanted to run. There's still time for us to get it together. And one of the reasons there's time for them to get it together is, even though they lost three straight, just sitting there chilling in the 10 spot, you know who's in the 11 spot? We talk about this almost every day. The Philadelphia 76ers, who have lost four in a row. Mm-hmm. They're not getting any closer. And so you look at who's behind the Sixers, Nets, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards. There's no guarantee that any of those teams are going to just jump up. Now, the Sixers should, by all means, pass them at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like with certainty the Bulls are going to finish 10th or 11th in the East.
Right.
Right now. It just... Wait, Dan, you're looking sideways.
No.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to challenge
because
that.
You're not going to beat, I'm using that word, to the bottom. You're just not going to beat the Wizards.
Oh, no.
Nobody beats the Wizards.
Those teams are so far.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
The Wiz have six wins, Dan.
Yeah, I know. Like they've got it. They've got you.
They've lost seven in a row.
So where are the Raptors there now?
Raptors are 10-31.
Hey.
You're not catching them. You can't catch a team that's 21 games under 500. The Hornets, by the way, 9-28, 19 games under 500. That's a different tier of bad than what the Bulls are even capable of being. Now, what Dan wants is he wants the Bulls to show up like the Hawks did last night with that type of roster. He said when he says trade everyone, he really means trade everyone.
Yeah, you should have Adama Sanogo starting.
You could have, if they trade Vooch, it'd go Jalen Smith. Adama Sanogo would become the backup center. You could have nights where he'd start, but that's weeks down the line. Like, that's after the trade deadline if they did move a
lot of
people.
Which isn't that far away, February 6th.
February 6th. But when you look at that, again, there's not a ton of wiggle room here for where they're going to end up moving in the standings. But I still think there is a difference between being ninth worst in the NBA, having the eighth worst record in the NBA. And the difference is that is 20% chance to jump into the top four versus a 26% chance to jump into the top four, where you could really get a difference maker. The other chance in that is if you finish ninth worst in the NBA, two teams in the lottery behind you probably aren't going to pass you.
Right.
But it is within the realm of possibility. The odds get absolutely tiny if you finish eighth worst in the NBA. So, like, there is a meaningful difference there, I think, for the Bulls' long-term trajectory to have the Sixers be better than them by the end of the season. But this is not a front office that has taken a look at the long-term trajectory whatsoever at all, because AK has felt the need to compete. He has talked about the integrity of the game. Billy Donovan is on message with that. We understand why, because coaches are paid to win unless the front office directly tells them, play these young guys. If they directly take veterans away from them, they haven't done that to any degree, but there's a lot of names, right? Like, if they don't trade Zach LaVine because they hate all the offers, they could still trade Vooch. They could still trade Lonzo. They could still trade Torrey Craig. There's three veterans right there.
But Torrey Craig's not doing anything.
I would listen. I don't think anyone in the NBA is going to touch Patrick Williams right now unless he's a tangential part of a deal for
bad.
Like salary.
He's been bad.
Yeah, and that's a, what, five-year, $90 million contract that already looks really bad halfway through the first season. So that's a huge concern. But, like, to me, if I was the Bulls, I would be forward-thinking in these ways. Like, you need to learn from your mistakes, right? So one of their mistakes was they shopped Zach LaVine but didn't trade him. It got to the point where they had a frosty relationship because he and his camp knew that. And he's like, all right, now I'm open to a change of scenery, obviously. And then the offers went downhill when he was injured, not as efficient. contract, all that stuff. We know we're rehashing that story. Ayo Dosunmu and Coby White have value now because they're so productive players and they're on great contracts. Ayo on an even better contract because it's a little smaller. I think he's probably been a little bit more consistent than Coby this year. Coby's been a little hot and cold, but he's streaky, right? Like, Coby can heat up in a couple weeks. So, like, there's value
he
there.
He can, but I think we know that post-Zach Coby surge last year was he was over his skis. He's a rotational NBA guard, but he's not going to be a star.
But, like, I don't think Coby White, when this three-year, $40 million-ish dollar contract is up, I don't think he's going to be a great asset on his next contract. Not that he's not going to be an adequate, solid NBA player, but I don't think he's a trade asset on his next contract. Right. Like the way this goes, guys like him sign $100 million contracts. Oh, plus.
By the time that happens, that the new NBA broadcast contract will have kicked in.
Learn from your mistakes. Like, get off a guy earlier, get an asset back, whether it's a younger player, a new mix. A first-round draft pick might be out of the question. I don't know if it's protected. That's something you'd look at like that. Like, you're not going to get an unprotected first-round pick for him. But, like, I wouldn't be afraid to take assets in the long-term future. Some of these teams that are contending, obviously, they don't have first-round draft picks to trade this year or next year, but they might in 29, 30, 31. That's where it gets interesting, though, because at that point, it's incumbent on Michael Reinsdorf as ownership to say, this is something we should do because a front office fighting for its job is not going to do that.
Yeah, that was my next question.
No inclination. So that's why things tie back to ownership with the Bulls when you're talking about potential here, even at this deadline.
That's my question, because ownership, we know, has been very, very happy running an entertainment product.
Yep.
And they've been a very successful entertainment product. And to me, the critical choice the Bulls have to make is, are you a competitive NBA team or are you primarily an entertainment product?
Well, they should pivot right now to an entertainment product, right? Like,
because they're not going to be good enough.
I don't see a reason to fight for the 10 seed. They do. That's where all this fan base disagrees. And, like, it always goes back to, with AK to me, at last trade deadline when they didn't do anything, right? They hung on to Caruso. They hung on to Andre Drummond.
That was awful. The
easiest person to trade ever, at least 2 second-round picks.
Right, you left 2 seconds and a first on the table AK for no reason.
Reiterated that he felt like he owed it to the fan base to be competitive. But, like, you only owe it to two people to be competitive, or two groups, I should say. Your bosses and the fan base. And right now, the fan base, I think, is pretty unified in not clamoring to be the 10 seed again. So,
you think so?
Yeah, I think the fan base would rather the Bulls take a step back rather than fight for... what do you guys think?
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I think most fans who are big picture, yes. But a lot of fans like what they see if they go to the games. It is entertaining.
Because every individual game is its own entertainment product.
Right.
But I think, Cody, your point is you could tank, if you really trust that side of your business, that you are a tourist attraction, that you are a viable brand, that it's what they, you know, Jerry Krause tried to do it.
So we know, here's my thing. We know Patrick Williams isn't going to go anywhere. He's going to be a starting whatever in that lineup. So what is the lineup with, say, Patrick Williams and Daylon Terry and Julian Phillips? And
it's rough. I mean, you're really bad.
You're really bad. But those guys are going to have some exciting plays, and you're going to get young players experience. Because if you trade Vooch, Lonzo, Zach LaVine,
awful.
Ayo, Coby. If you trade, let's say by chance, I don't think it's happening, they trade all five of those players by the deadline.
Be lucky if two people leave town if we see people that want to see change.
But that's kind of the goal, though, is to get what you can get, even if it's long term, 2-3 years from now, to set yourself up for the future and be bad enough to get something in this draft.
Well, yeah, I would have the prism of building around, and I shouldn't even say building around. I would have the prison of Buzelis' age range, right?
Yeah, 20 and, years and Buzelis gets starts too, yes.
You're not building around that guy yet. We don't know enough about it. But, like, he's a piece to have on a young team and see what he can do more of. That draft pick, Ayo's certainly young enough to still fit into that picture. Coby White is too. But, again, like, if you're building assets, you want to move guys when they still are an asset if you're trying to pivot around a different age range. But the way this is going, like, I don't think right now, if you ask me, I don't think Zach LaVine would be traded just because.
Well, yeah, what's the fit? Deadline, what's the fit? Who needs Zach LaVine?
It's hard with the contract, even as well as he's playing. Jimmy Butler's out there, might be a domino that people want to see go first, and that could take up till trade deadline day. What do you have lined up after that?
They're kind of depending on injuries.
It's always
with Vooch,
easier
right?
in the summer to trade big contracts like that when you have more flexibility, more roster flexibility. You're around the draft. Those draft picks on draft night, you can trade one more technically once the draft has passed, stuff like that. So that's always easier. But like, if you're not going to trade Zach, like, I would make it a priority to trade Vooch to get a little worse. Like, that's $20 million next year that you'd get off of. That doesn't give them a lot of cap space to do anything, given where they are. But
21-5 next year.
Yeah, 21-5. You got it, Dan. But that is something that gives you a little bit more flexibility. And maybe down the line, that lets you take on a contract or a young player from a bad team, get an asset back for someone else, bad contract. But, like, again, that's just that's not where this front office wants to be, and that's just the huge disagreement, I think, between a lot of people and how they're viewing it.
Yeah, I see it as we don't know what a good fit for Vooch would be right now.
Well, I think the Warriors would be interesting, right? Because they just don't have enough offense around Steph, and they have a couple $8, $9 million contracts they could combine. That's been the most buzz anyone's heard in the NBA, but that was also a couple weeks ago. When we heard that, not in recent days exactly, but like that would be interesting to me.
I'm waiting to see what Orlando is going to do with their injury situation, as well as they've played, as well as they're coached, what their goals are, or if they're thinking, wait a second, what if we tank? Could you imagine?
No, there's no way they do.
They're not tanking.
They don't have Wagner some nights, and obviously Suggs missed some
both
time.
Both Wagners, yeah.
Banchero, and they're still like churning out like 94-90 wins every other night and like staying around 500 for long stretches.
Yeah, they're four games over 500 and in the five spot in the East. After the first...
But they know they're not going anywhere this year, and once they get their guys back, could you imagine if they got into this draft? Ooh, boy.
Yeah, that would be something. But like... This is just, we see the time they haven't traded people at the deadline in past years, so kind of feels like we're pounding our head into the wall here, but like it is another pivotal point, and what do they do in this sense?
And that's the question, and
we'll
that
see on February 6th.
Is Cody Westerlund. We've got High Noon coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You have the score.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
This is much more fun.
What, the Midwest?
No, the radio. Hanging out with you, Dan, from 10 to 2 every day.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think we're all set. Here's a drive to deep right off the bat of Crow Armstrong. That's going to be off the glove of the right fielder Sanchez. It rolls out toward right center. Crow Armstrong racing around third. He's going to try to score. The throw to the plate. The slide. He is safe. Inside the park, home run, Pete Crow Armstrong. Electrifying. The Marlins they're not going to challenge the play. An inside the park home run, one of the most exciting things you can ever see in a ball game.
Going for speed, indeed. One of the most exciting plays from a very exciting player. He can run a little bit, I guess. The Cubs convention is just about here. We can kind of kick it off on this show right now with that man, Pete Crow Armstrong, joining us on the Circus Sports Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's going on, Pete? How are you?
Man, I'm good. You made me sweat a little bit with that sound bite. How are you guys?
Good. What's running through your mind when something like that happens? Do you think, okay, you know, you glance over and you see the third base coach, you're like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, it was that one big kick it took off the wall where I was like, oh boy, this could, you know, I could be taking it to the crib, but man, probably right there when it took that big kick, I was trying to reach whatever extra gear I had left.
What specifically happened to spur your second half hitting renaissance. It just seemed like something turned on. Was it a timing mechanism? Was it your familiarity with major league pitching? But I'm just, in all the work that you do, when was there a moment that you said, okay, I think I'm starting to get this?
Well, both of those things are the timing and I mean, you're nothing without timing, first and foremost. So I don't stand a chance in the box if I'm not ready to go and ready to hit the 95 to 100 that we're seeing so much now. But I don't know. I had a day, I think it was actually the last day before the All-Star break where I hit the two homers against St. Louis, and right there I was like, oh, this is it. You know, I'm going into the break on a high note, and then I proceeded to, I think my average dropped another 20 some points for the first 2 weeks after the break. And, man, it was just, I don't know if it was one thing. I think we did put in so much work, and I think it was more so a culmination of all that. So I think you brought up the familiarity with big league pitching. That was super important for me, being able to actually have some batter pitcher matchup history. So like seeing guys multiple times, I think it was, every week it was, I felt more at home in the batter's box or in center field with my guys, with my team, with my coaches, all that stuff. And I mean, yeah, I think everything's, you know, synced up timing wise and, whatever was going on upstairs in my brain too. You know, I think, it was just a culmination of work that we did. Cause I couldn't pick one day of flips in the cage or anything like that, that really felt like it turned things around for me. It was just one day where I gave myself a little bit bigger of a leg kick and forced myself to be athletic. I think
14.08 seconds around the bases, which is, I can't really comprehend that. Do you surprise yourself at times because of the speed in terms of getting a hit and where you end up?
No, I'm going to sound like such a...
No, tell the truth.
I don't think I've been able to tell if I've gotten faster. I'm sure I have, but what was more surprising, you know, with that Inside the Park home run was the fact that it was as fast as it was, just because I felt like I was pulling a piano around third base. And there's so much work that we do in the off season for speed. And I was just so lucky to have my legs feeling as good as they did. And at that point in the year, I don't think I'm ever surprised with myself. I know what I can kind of create with my speed. I think in the outfield is when I actually tend to surprise myself a little bit more than on the bases.
I think when I look at a next step for you, obviously it's replicating that second half, but it's getting that walk percentage up, getting the strikeout percentage down, while also keeping the aggressiveness and the power. So each week we're lucky enough to talk to your guy, Ian Happ, who's been part of this show for years. And I love watching him hit sometimes. I love watching him take pitches, especially when he's down in the count early, when he's decided to maybe take a couple of aggressive shots at early in the count and then work his way back and accept his walk. Is that there for you? Is that something you actively can work on? Because I know that's kind of the secret sauce of being great, of being able, knowing there may be one or two pitches every plate appearance that you can turn and burn on. And if you don't, and a walk is perfectly fine because it might end up being the equivalent of a triple for you.
Yeah, well, I think after this year, I definitely understand the value in walks specifically for myself. I mean, Ian's a great example though, where, it's funny, man, you see all of the guys that are getting paid right now, like their on base percentage is really good. And Juan Soto's an extreme example because he's a top five, three player in all of baseball. But, it was interesting watching him in the World Series, cause it was like, dang, man, you could just tell that a guy like that, he runs into home runs, you know, just like anybody. And what the difference is like how it seemed like he made the pitcher feel by taking a pitch, where you know, whether it was borderline or not, I think guys like Ian, guys like Juan Soto, they're very good at giving ground to gain ground. And, you know, I think that this game is all about giving and taking. You got to be okay sacrificing certain pitches. All, you know, and everything that you kind of do during an at bat is to get gifted with that pitch that you weren't really supposed to get. And, you know, again, guys like Soto, guys like Ian, they just take advantage of the mistakes. But getting your swing off and everything, like, that's important. But it's also important to be situational with things. And I think that's another thing that I got a better feel of towards the end of the year. Just being able to understand situations and figure out when it is okay to get a swing off or whatever it was. But, you know, I've seen Ian do some pretty cool things on the baseball field, but his consistency and how he, you know, makes his presence known in the box by just being able to get on first base so much is huge.
You're now teammates with Kyle Tucker, big offseason move by the Cubs. I'm just curious as to if you've talked to him at all, if you know him at all, and what your reaction was to that big move by the Cubs.
Yeah, well, big move. I've never met Kyle. It's hard to ever cross paths with other outfielders during the year just because you don't actually pass them by on the field that much. But watching from afar and watching on TV, like, I mean, the guy is a special, special baseball player. I mean, you know, losing Cody is what it is, and you know, I wasn't happy to lose Cody because he's a great person for our clubhouse and an unbelievable person just to spend time with. But what I have heard and what I've seen about Mr. Tucker is only good. And I think he's going to add a lot to our situation too. You know, being able to hold down right field every day. He adds so much to our situation. I think that I'm just really looking forward to finding out what that looks like in person.
After a full season now in the major leagues under your belt, you have 410 plate appearances in the show. Have you learned and how far do you have to come on the mental side of things, which I think separates the guys who are able to become stars from those who aren't, and being able to handle failure, being able to understand the routine and the grind and the fact that this is a job. Is it, does that take work? Do you know when you're starting to beat yourself up a little too much? Do you know when you start to get a little too high rather than a little too low? Because that it's not easy.
No, it's not. I like the way that was phrased. I think I've probably treated this like a job for too long. And not in a bad way. I just think that I love taking this game seriously. Because it's not a serious game, but you have to be serious about what you do in it and how you set yourself up to just play 9 innings every day. And I think it's going to sound crazy, but like once I realized I wasn't supposed to go 3 for 4 every day was when I saw that more. And I think, yeah, as the year went on and as I just got and to the topic earlier about the second half turnaround, it's like it was just a matter of time in my eyes. You know, I was doing the right work. I was preparing the right way. I became pretty monotonous in my routine. And you know, what Counts kind of relayed to me that made me feel somewhat fulfilled was, you know, he was just glad that I showed him I could be ready to play every day. And I showed him that through what happens, you know, underground in the clubhouse, in the cages and so on. So, you know, I love treating this game like a job because it's the best job to have, and I'm very lucky to be able to do so. But you know, I think next year I'm really excited to see where I do take things mentally, because I have come a long way, and I'm excited to be a little kinder to myself in terms of the failure side of things and everything hard about this game that I actually came to really enjoy towards the end of the year. I love how hard this is, and I love how gratifying this game can be.
You gave us 97 games last year before you got caught stealing. This is the thing I'm going to be watching next year. Can you make it through a season without getting caught with the new rules? No, listen. He stole 23 bases before he got caught. And it was mid-August before you got caught stealing.
If you're not getting caught, you're not trying enough.
What? I believe in your speed, PCA. Don't listen to Dan. I believe in it.
Because
I know you knew you hadn't been caught.
I mean, gosh, what am I supposed to say? I can't get through a whole season without getting caught. You run into way too many good arms and good throwers, but I've been on the same field as a lot of really good catching brains. There's no chance in hell that I'll ever go perfect, but
27 out of 30 ain't bad. I mean,
no, it's not. And I still should have had more, but that's because I probably stopped running a little bit. I did get scared a couple times when I got caught, and that was half the battle, you know, was not being afraid to move my legs forward and get thrown out, you know?
So it looked like you had fun at the outdoor hockey game. I know you were mic'd up, and we never know because they were not going to use probably all the best stuff. They're going to use some of the G-rated stuff, obviously, but that looked like a hell of an experience.
It was unbelievable. The whole weekend was, or the whole, I mean, the whole 2 days, I don't even think it was the weekend, but we got to go down to the clubhouse, see what they did to the place and meet a lot of the guys and, you know, from Seth Jones to freaking Craig Smith to whoever, you know, Foligno was unbelievably nice coming up to us. He was one of the first people to come introduce himself and, you know, I know it's been maybe a tough last couple of years for the Hawks, but they definitely got some good guys in that locker room. And, you know, I got all the respect in the world for the job that they do. That is a hard nose line of work. And those guys, those guys are some bad men. So, no, that was such a blast getting to sit up close. And I mean, even the day before we were at practice and we got to listen to the sights and sounds of a day in the life of a hockey player. And that was special for sure.
I always wonder, like, for you to track, you say 95 and be ready to have that foot down, be ready to rock and roll. When you see a guy who is in front of the net, you know, deep slot, and then you've got that thing coming at you also at 95, but it's your it's your job to get your stick blade on it, deflect it on the goal behind you while somebody is coming to take your head off.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. The tiny puck that it doesn't feel so tiny after I picked it up. The fact that has to make it through so many bodies to actually find the net is the craziest part, that the goalie has to sift through all the moving parts to actually be able to stop the puck at all. So, I mean, it looks like it'd be a fun sport to be really good at.
That's an interesting way to put it. Yes. It's probably not as much fun to not be so good. Pete, this was really fun, and I hope you have a blast this weekend, and here's to a terrific and healthy year for you.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for getting me on a little early, too. I know I pushed the envelope a little bit.
Nah, we got you.
No, you're good.
No worries.
You're good. Thanks so much, Pete.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
That is Cubs center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong. What an interesting young man.